Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Hope you're having a great day today. I tell you, we're drawing closer and closer and closer to that Christmas day, are we not? People are getting more and more excited. I tell you, you drive by the parking lots at the Walmarts and the malls, and all of them are full, and everybody are out there doing those last-minute Christmas shoppings. And I tell you, we had program after program at the church, and today we have a great day of programs today. Our Christmas cantata will be tonight at 6 o'clock. We invite any of you who want to come out. Our handbells will be leading us in worship this morning, and so we're just looking forward to that. We'll be down in our new worship center, in our Family Life Center today, only one service at 11 o'clock. We will have Sunday school, so just make that time change. We're not having two services today. It'll only be the one at 11 o'clock. So we're looking forward to a great day, as well as I hope that you are. I know this morning that if you're listening to us on the radio, that means you're probably shut in, or either you're sick this morning, can't make it to your church, or maybe you're out traveling for the holiday. So let's pray that God will just be with us all, and the Holy Spirit will go before us, Lord. No matter where we at, He crosses all boundaries. Isn't that wonderful to think about how the Holy Spirit crosses all boundaries? So let's pray, and we'll get right into it today. Father, we do thank you, Lord, once again for this opportunity to come and share your word on this radio station. We thank you that you are a God that does cross all boundaries through the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that can keep you out nor hinder you, Lord, that if we'll just allow you, Lord, to come and speak to our hearts, you stand willing and ready. Lord, you're not going to force yourself on us this morning, but Lord, we know that you offer unto us salvation through your Son, Jesus, and we're celebrating his birth. And so, Lord, we thank you for all that you did for us by that wonderful gift of Jesus, the Savior of the world. So, Lord, I pray that you'll speak through me the words that we need to hear this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit will touch the hearts of the people that are listening. Lord, cleanse us from our sins. Remove anything that may hinder us. Don't let Satan steal from us what you have for us today, as we are careful to give you all the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. Well, this morning, as we're going to think about the best Christmas gift ever. Think about that just a minute. The best Christmas gift or present that you ever got. Maybe the best present that you ever got. You know, have you gotten maybe a better birthday gift or a better anniversary gift, more than just a Christmas gift? But, you know, Christmas is that time that we really think about those presents. So we really think about what we've been given and what we're going to give to those. Like I said, the Walmarts, the stores, the malls are all full of people trying to pick out that perfect gift. Well, we think about that. We think about Christmas. We think about that first Christmas, those first gifts that were given. And so I want you to think about, what was that best Christmas present that you ever got, or that best gift that you ever received in your life? I know I have received a lot of different things. I've had people give me everything from gift card to tires to pecan, a pack of pecans. I had a fellow give me a pack of pecans. Now, you know, I don't look down on that. You ever bought pecans lately? You know, and they're wonderful. I love to eat them. I've had everything given to me, all the way up to a horse. I had a guy give me a horse. I've had church give me a truck one time. I mean, I've had some wonderful and great gifts through my life that people have given me. I can remember back as a child receiving on Christmas morning a Casper the Ghost doll. Now think about that. It was a little doll of Casper the Ghost. I was just a little boy, and you'd pull a string and he would talk. And I'll never forget, I can remember it even to the day. I wasn't probably 4 or 5 years old, but I can remember getting that little Casper doll and pulling that cord, and he said, "Ooh, I'm cold." And I said, "I am too." And we went and jumped back into bed and covered up on Christmas morning. You know, you remember things like that as a child, those special gifts and those things that you received and that we all got that were so special and meaningful to us. And we get everything, like I said, that you can imagine as gifts today. But what is that best Christmas present ever? You know, this morning we're going to read part of the Christmas story, the one that happened a little later on. I know we kind of get things out of whack when we put the wise men at the manger scene, because the wise men were not at the manger scene, just the shepherds. The wise men came, as we think, may have been 2 years later. Because you remember when Herod killed all the baby male childs, what did he kill? Everybody 2 years old and younger. And we know that when we read the scriptures here in just a minute, we'll see that when the wise men came where? To the house. they found who? Mary and who? The child. So it doesn't say they went to a manger and it was a baby. We don't know how long it took them to get there, but we think it could have been up to 2 years. So let's read it, and then we'll get into talking about these presents that we have. So we're going to begin Matthew chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 7 and read down through verse 12. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 7, and we'll read down through verse 12. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return unto Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. So we see this story of the wise men. Like I said, it didn't happen at the manger scene like we so often do, and we put them at the manger scene there in our nativity scenes, but yet we see that it happened sometime later. Could have been, like I said, even up to 2 years later. But the wise men, we always say three because of the three gifts, but we don't know just how many magi there were. That could have been more than three, but they show up there at Jerusalem, at Herod's palace, and they are looking for where is the king of the Jews that's been born. Now, when Herod and all of Jerusalem hear this, and we've read this and preached on this, what did it say? They were all troubled. But Herod, you know, he kind of puts up a big front, and he tells them, he says, look, he brings them in there, you know, privately. He says, now, when did you see the star, and what do you say about that? And he found out more about when they saw it and how long they'd been traveling, and so he says, now you go and you find, and when you do find this young child, when you do find this baby, then I want you to come back by and tell me where he's at so that I can worship him also. But you know, Herod was telling a bald-faced lie there, didn't he? He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to get rid of him because he don't want another king in his neighborhood. He didn't want another king trying to take over him. And so, you know, he's actually just setting the wise men up to find out where the baby was. But the wise men, they leave. They go and they find Mary and the young child, it says, there in the house. And they bow down and worship. They present unto him their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then it says the Lord, what, appeared unto them in a dream and told them, says, look, don't go by and tell old Herod. You know, don't do that. And it says they left and they went home and departed on a different way. That's the way God protected our gift, that gift of Jesus Christ. But I want us to look then, and I want us to think about three things this morning. We want to think about what they gave, what he gave, and what we must give. Think about that just a minute. What they gave, what he gave, and what we must give. When we think about that greatest gift of ever, when we think about that greatest present, that Christmas present that was ever given, then we need to look at exactly what they gave him, what that did, what he gave us, and then what are we giving? What are we giving? What kind of present are we giving? So let's think about that this morning. First of all, let's look at what they gave. It says in verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I know I've played back when I was a kid. I played one of the wise men. I can remember presenting my gifts. Do you remember that? You know, we always have those three wise men, and we even sang, you know, we three kings of Oregon are. We used to do those things, you know. We used to have the little pageants. I hadn't seen a real good one in a long time. I wish we would go back to them old gifts and the old ways that we did it sometimes. But I want us to notice what these wise men gave. When they found the babe Jesus, the young child, and Mary and his mother in their house, what was it that these wise men gave? What did they give him? Well, I want us to look at the four things that they actually gave him. First thing that we see that they gave him themselves. They gave him themselves, then they gave him gold, then they gave him frankincense, and then they gave him myrrh. So notice what happens. It says that when they came and they found Mary, the mother, his mother, and the young child there, they fell down and they worshiped him and they opened their treasures. Now, you know, when I read that, and I think about that, first of all, before they ever gave him anything else, they had to do what? They had to give them themselves to him. Now, these are magi, these are astrologers, these are kings, we three kings of Orgonar. They came seeking out the king, and when they see him, the Bible says they fell down and they worshiped him, and then they opened up their treasures. Now, when we find the Lord Jesus Christ, when we see him, then what are we giving him? You know, what are we going to give him? What did they give him? They gave him themselves, they worshiped him, they recognized him as that king, and they opened up their treasures. They opened up themselves. You know, the Bible talks a lot about where our heart is or where our treasure is. That's where our heart is, and you know, vice versa. But they were willing to open up themselves unto this young child, this king, and really had been seeking out and looking for him. And that's the first thing that we have to do this morning. We have to think about what they gave. They gave themselves. Then look at the three gifts that they actually give. Out of their treasures, they gave him, first of all, gold. Now think about that just a minute. What was this gold for? Well, we know that gold was something that was given as a tribute unto the king, right? I mean, you had to pay your tithe, you had to pay your taxes, you had to do your part, and you had to give the king gold, you had to present him presents. This was something that if you came into a king's presence, that first thing you did, you bow down, you worshiped him, you honored him, and you gave tribute to that king. Well, notice something. Just a little side note here. When they got to Jerusalem and they found Herod, and when they come there, did it say they did that to Herod? Now, Herod's king during this time, but they didn't do that. It didn't say they did that to king. It didn't say they came before King Herod and offered him gifts, did it? It didn't say they came before King Herod and said, okay, here we are, and they bowed out and said, here's you some gifts, and now tell us where this new king is. It didn't say they did that. But when they come before this young child, this young boy in a house, he's not in a palace, he's in a house, meager living quarters probably, nothing extravagant, not like Herod was in and the palace that Herod was in, nothing big going on, just he and his mother there. And they come in, and what do? They fall down and worship him, they present themselves unto him, and then they give them the tribute of a king. This young child, this babe that was born in a manger, these that have so little, but yet they honor him. They give him the tribute of a king. They give him gold. Now, you know, when we think about that and this gift fit for a king, we know that Jesus is what? The King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. And he is worthy of that gold. He is worthy of all that. But see, this was God's way of taking care of Mary and of Joseph. Can you imagine that he has given his son to Mary and Joseph to raise? Do you think he's going to let him be hungry or do without or lack anything? Now, I don't think Joseph was destitute in any way. I think he was a righteous, good, working man. He was a carpenter, the Bible says, and I think he provided for his family. But he is the stepfather of the Son of God. Can you imagine that? Now, they were going to have to do some traveling because we know Herod is going to be trying to kill baby Jesus, and they're going to have to leave, and they got to go here, and then they got to come back here. Well, you know it costs money to travel. And God's taking care of that because why? Because this is his son. And so what does these wise men present unto him? The first Christmas gifts. They give themselves. Then they open up their treasures, and they give him gold, saying that this is the king. Then look at the second thing. They give him frankincense. Now, frankincense, what the last part of that word says, incense. This was what? This was honor unto a god. Frankincense was an incense that you lit, that you sent up a sweet savor unto a God. When you was worshiping a God, they would burn these incense and they would send up these incense unto a God. So see, not only are they saying, this is the King of Kings. We went by Herod, we didn't give him anything. We go and we find this young child and his mother in these meager dwelling places, and we give them gold, tribute to a king, and now they're giving him honor as unto a God. Frankincense, those incense that would be burned and be sent up unto honor a God. See, because see, Jesus is more than just a king. He's more than just a King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the one and only true God. There is none like unto him. And these gifts that were presented unto him are saying to the world, this is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is God in human form. Matter of fact, we sang and we talked about last week, Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. So these frankincense was a gift symbolizing that, hey, that Jesus is God and he is to be honored unto God, that these sweet savors, this sweet smell that was sent up in worship, he is worthy of our worship. Now to just look at him, he's a small child in meager surroundings, and yet these wise men see him as to be honored as God. Then look at the last present that we see. They give themselves unto him, they give him gold, they give him frankincense, and then they give him myrrh. Now, why do you think they gave him myrrh? He was what? They gave him tribute as a king. They gave him honor as God. And here, they give him what? They gave him myrrh, the embalmment fluid of death of a man. Death of a man. That just as Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, just as he is God himself incarnate in the flesh, come to this earth, leaving the portals of heaven to come and to be the Savior of the world, we know that he would do that through what? Through his death. That he would actually die for the world. And so this myrrh was a symbol, this gift was to symbolize that, hey, he would be dying. I'll never forget, I think it was when I turned 60, you know, that my sister, she's 2 years older than I am, but when I turned 60, she fixed me a bag of all these old medicines for old people, you know, being gay and preparation age and a little bit of everything that you can think of that old people use, poly grip for your dentures. I mean, it was all kind of things, it's kind of a gag gift that she gave me, preparing me for what? For getting old. You know, you getting old. You just turned 60 years old. Of course, I'm way past that now. But, you know, that was just a big gag gift that she gave me to get ready for getting old. Well, you know, they're getting ready. Here this young child is, not even 2 years old, and they recognize and they see that his death is coming. His death is coming. It was a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do when he would give that ultimate gift, when he would be that ultimate present. And so that brings us up to the second part. First of all, we saw what they gave. Now let's look, what did he give? What he gave? What did he give for us? They gave of themselves gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and he gave what? Well, we all go to that John 3:16, I'm automatically on it. For God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. You know, when we think about that babe in that manger, we like to forget about the cross, don't we? When we think about that babe in the manger, we like to forget about that night of torture and false trial that Jesus went through. When we think about that babe in the manger, we don't like to think about that Lord's Supper, for this is my body that was broken and given for you. This is my blood that was shed for the remission of sins for the world. We don't like to think about that body that was given, that blood that was shed. We don't like to think about that. But brothers and sisters, when we think about what he gave his only begotten son. God gave his only begotten son. Now, that's the greatest Christmas present. That's the greatest present anybody could give or anybody could receive, isn't it? For them to give their only begotten son, to give of themselves like that. So we see that God gives us his son. Second of all, we see his son gives up himself for what? What we find in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, he says, "For he has given up himself for a ransom for us all." In Galatians 1, 4, he says he has given up himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world that we're in. So he gives up himself. He gave us this gift that we should not perish but have everlasting life. He gives us himself so that he can be that ransom for our sins and that he can pay the price for our sins and deliver us out of this present evil world. Now, we talked about this a lot last week, if you remember, in our message, talked about that giving that ransom, buying them those hostages out. And we talked about how we understand that in a big way right now as we look at what's going on in Israel and the problems that are there. But can you imagine that this is the greatest gift of all, that somebody would give themselves, that they would give themselves for the whole world, that they would give themselves to be that ransom for us, that he would give himself for our sins, not anything that he did. He was without sin, but he gave himself. That's the greatest gift that anybody could imagine, that he would come, that only begotten Son of God. But he didn't just come to give himself as a ransom of that, but he also came and gave himself what? That we may have eternal life. In John 10, 28, he says, "And I give unto them eternal life." What? Out of my life, that they should never perish, and neither should anybody ever what? Pluck them out of my hand. Did you hear that in John 10, 10? You go to 10, 28. He talks about here in that John chapter 10, 10, what? That I came not that you could have life, but you may have it more abundantly. 10, 28, what does he say? I came to give you eternal life, that none of you would perish, and nobody would ever pluck you out of my hand. See, he is that greatest gift. He is that greatest gift of all, because through him we have eternal life. Because through him our ransom has been paid. Because through him we have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in would not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, isn't that great? And you can't get much greater gifts than that, can you? That we can have everlasting life. I mean, this gift just keeps on giving. This gift never wears out. This gift, you know, you talk about them lifetime warranty gifts. You know, all the time I ask them, well, whose lifetime is that? But can you imagine that God gives us a gift that lasts forever? Nobody's going to pluck us out of his hand. Nobody's going to take it away from us. We'll never perish because it is eternal. That gift that just keeps on giving. But he didn't stop there. He said, not only am I giving him a son, not only am I giving myself, not only am I giving him eternal life, but he says, I'm giving him a comforter. In John chapter 14, verse 6, we see that Jesus had been telling the disciples how that he would be dying, how that he would have to be leaving this world. And what did he tell them? He said, but I'm going to pray the Father for you, and he shall what? He shall give you another comforter that may abide with you forever. Did you see that? I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to give you someone else to be there with you and to be there part of you. You know, I was telling you about that little Casper ghost that I had, that little Casper ghost back when I was a young boy. You know, he was just a toy. But how many people got them teddy bears that's a comfort to them that you snuggle up in the bed with, that stuffed animal? Maybe it's a stuffed dog or something like that. But he says, I'm going to give you a comforter. Think about that. I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to pray God that he's going to give you a comforter. Just because I'm not going to be here, I'm going to give you a comforter. He's going to be here. But this great gift of this comforter was much more than just to comfort us. But what did he say? This comforter is going to teach you. It's going to help you to remember the things that I have taught you. It's going to be here to strengthen you. It's going to be here to direct you and guide you and to be that comfort that you do need. That's a pretty good gift, isn't it? That's a pretty good gift. You know, I've had a lot of people give me blankets, good soft blankets. I keep one on my recliner at home every day. And I tell you, when I finally come to the end of the day, the first thing I do is get my shoes off and get my belt all off, my coat, and I get in that recliner and I get my blanket. And I pull it up and I pull that handle and I said, I'm going to sit here and watch a TV program. And then I wake up about 10 o'clock. You know, that's usually what happens. I wake up about 10 o'clock. I'll be done falling asleep and going to sleep. But he says, He gave us what? He gave us His only begotten Son. He gave Himself for our ransom. He gave us what? Eternal life. He gave us what? I'm going to pray the Father that He'll give you a comforter that will abide with you and be there with you forever and ever. And then the last thing, look what He says He gave us. He gave us peace. John 14:27, He says, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you." Not as the world gives you. It's not a peace that the world gives you. Because, see, the world's peace won't last. But He says, "I'm going to give you a peace that's going to last. I'm going to give you a peace that's forever and ever." Now, how do we have such a peace? Because we have what? We just talked about a comforter. Because we have what? A eternal life. That what did He say? We'll never perish. No man ever pluck you out of my life. Because He says what? I'm going to give myself. Myself. So, you know, when He says He's going to take care of it, I'm going to give you my only begotten Son. I'm going to give you myself as a ransom. I'm going to pay the price for your sins that you'll have eternal life. You'll never perish. You'll never be plucked out of my hand. The Comforter's going to be there to comfort you and strengthen you. It can't help but to give you a peace. It gives you a peace in it. One of the greatest things that God gives us is this peace. When we look around at what's going on in the world today and we see the world falling apart, and I tell people all the time, it's not falling apart, it's falling together. Everything's coming together like God wants it. We have peace within us. And no matter what's going on around us, we can have that peace of knowing that we're going to be all right. Because why? Because of what He gave. Because of what He gave. What He gave for us. We looked at what the wise men, what they gave on that first Christmas. We looked at what He gave, what God gave us by giving us His only begotten Son, by coming to this earth in the form of a baby. So now let's look at, well, what must we give? What are we going to give? You know, isn't it amazing? I know we shouldn't do this, but isn't it amazing how so many times, you know, we try to make sure that, you know, we give the best gift, right? You know, if somebody gives us something that costs $100 or $200, then we're not going to give them a gift that costs 50 cents or $10 even, are we? You know, we want to be the one that gives the best gift, don't we? We want to be the one that gives the greatest gift. We want to give the one that gives that most expensive gift. And I know with our grandchildren, we got 9 grandchildren, and you know, we try to spend the same amount on every one of them. And you know, it's so crazy when you set an amount and you say, okay, we're only going to spend this amount. Well, what one of them wants, it may cost $10 more than that. What another one wants, it may cost $10 less than that. And you know, I tell my wife, me and Denise, we discuss it a lot of times. Well, what difference does it make? If it's $5 or $10, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. As long as they get something that they truly want. But you know, I can't go and buy one of them a $5,000 gift and another one a $5 gift, can I? I mean, that wouldn't be very, very nice, was it, at a grandpa? But you know, when we think about what we need to give in the comparison of what God has given us, the things that we just read about, the things we just discussed, the things that we think about what He gave us, then what in the world can we give Him? You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we see that Paul is talking to the church. It's about giving to help the Jewish people that were suffering. And he talked about how that to the church at Corinth. And he talked about how that Macedonia, how that they gave. And this is what he said about Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. When they answered the call to give, this is what it says. And it says, "And this they did, not as we hoped for, but they first gave themselves unto the Lord. And then unto us, as of the will of God." Now listen to what he's saying here. We kind of misunderstand this if you don't understand the gist. He says, when we asked them to give, they didn't give as we thought they was going to give. They gave much more. That's what he's saying. When he says, not as we was hoped for. They hoped for little, and they got a lot from the Macedonians. The Macedonians went above because they first did what? Gave themselves unto the Lord. And then they gave to the help the people, the Jewish people, the Israelites. They gave to help them in a way that was pleasing even unto God because they first gave themselves. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, what did it say? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, because what? That is our only reasonable service. You know, when we look at what Jesus gave, when we look at what God has given in us, when we look at what he has done for us, when we look at all the great presents that he gave us that we talked about a while ago, and we look back at that first Christmas of that gold and frankincense and myrrh, you know, what are we doing? Are we giving tribute unto him as a king? Are we honoring him as a God? Are we remembering his death, that he died on that cross for our sins? If so, then we must give ourselves unto him. We must present ourselves a living sacrifice. He says it's the only reasonable service we can do. We can't expect God to give us $1 million gift and us give him a $10 gift certificate to go to Burger King and get him a hamburger. No. He deserves our best. He deserves our all. He deserves ourselves. So this morning, what is that greatest gift that you ever received, that best gift that you ever received? Then I ask you a second question. What is the best gift you've ever given God? What is the best thing you've ever given back to him? The only thing we have to offer to anything compares to what God has done for us is to give ourselves back unto him. And I charge you, I challenge you today, give yourselves back unto him as that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, because I can tell you, you won't be sorry that you did. Let us pray. Father, thank you for our message today. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively, Lord. We thank you that you were willing on that first Christmas to give us your best. You gave us your only begotten Son. And we thank you that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that he is God incarnate with us, and that he took our place on that cross and died and gave of himself a ransom for us. And so, Lord, we thank you that you can give us peace through knowing Jesus as our Savior. So if there's one that does not know him, we pray today they'll accept him now. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.